So I imagine that more than a few of us went to bed disappointed on Wednesday. Hands up if that was you. Yeah. But it feels like there are reasons for us to celebrate this morning. Some of us could probably spend all day talking about the World Cup and the matches that England have played over the last few weeks, especially the match last night, if you watched it. Not to mention the other 47 teams that have also been playing. So hands up those who watched the England-France match yesterday evening. We, in our house, we had a full house with some of James's school friends because it's his 11th birthday tomorrow. And four of them stayed over. And the excitement of the match kept us up till the early hours of the morning. But what a game. What a game. Having spent 14 years living in France, our loyalties were somewhat divided. But I have to say, what I was hoping for after the Argentina semi-final was a good match. And it was a really good match. That's exactly what we got. And the final, Argentina-Spain, is still yet to be played. So that's this evening sorted for some of us. But back to the Bible and the book of 2 John. Most of us receive letters from time to time. And people write to us for various reasons. Most of the letters we receive are probably not personal letters, and by that I mean ones that are written to us by someone who knows us personally or individually. Those kind of letters, I think, are becoming more and more rare because they take time and effort to write, and as a result, they can be very meaningful to us, special, worth keeping rather than throwing away. But probably like you, most of the letters that I receive these days are generic and mass-produced, part of an advertising campaign or perhaps fundraising for a particular charity or good cause. And these are the letters that quite often end up in the recycling bin, sometimes without even being read, I have to admit. Letters are meant to be read, though. And just as they take time to write, they also take time to read and digest. And most of us, if we receive a letter that's been written to us by someone we know personally, we will read it more than once. And if it's from someone, a very special person, we'll probably read it over and over again. And we don't often get to read other people's letters, mainly because they can be private personal letters, and because of that, a letter tends to be read only by the person that it's been written to. But that's not the case when it comes to the letters that we have in the Bible. And there are quite a few of those. Some of them are written to groups of people, churches like us, and some are addressed to specific individuals. And something that I say quite often when I'm stood up here is that the word Bible actually means the books. And there are 66 books contained in the Bible, and all of those were written a very long time ago. Many of them were written before Jesus was born. But out of the 27 that were written after Jesus was born, 21 of them, 21 out of 27, are letters. And one of the other books actually contains seven letters, so lots and lots of letters. So that means that almost all of the books in the New Testament, the vast majority of them in any case, are letters. And some of them are well known. It wasn't so long ago that we were looking at a letter that Paul wrote to his friend Timothy. And a couple of years ago, we worked our way through Paul's letter to the church in Rome, if you remember that. We could think of other letters like Ephesians, Philippians, James, that might be quite familiar to us. But then we also have books and letters, as Hannah's already mentioned, that we hardly ever read. And today we're looking at 2 John, the book of 2 John, or John's second letter, for that very reason. It's one of the shortest books in the whole Bible. And perhaps that's the reason why we hardly ever read it. So even though it takes less than 2 minutes to read and is about 100 times shorter than the book of Isaiah, which is the book that we've been looking at in recent weeks, 2 John isn't a book that people tend to know or know well. But today we're going to look at it. And as Hannah said, over the course of the summer, we're going to spend time looking at a few of the other books that tend to get overlooked because they're short. And I have to say that part of the reason for doing this is down to Gordon Betteridge, who passed away a couple of weeks ago. I think it was last summer, possibly the summer before, that Gordon wrote to us to suggest that it would be good to look at some of the forgotten books in the Bible, some of the shortest books in the Bible. And for the past few years, we've tended to look at Psalms, different Psalms during the summer. And we're going to do some of the Psalms this summer as well. I think next week, Phil's going to speak on Psalm 110, so that's something to look forward to. But while people are away on holiday, we do things differently. And even though Gordon loved the book of Psalms, I think he saw an opportunity to do something different. And that's what we've got, an opportunity this summer to do something different. So here we are today with the book of 2 John open in front of us, hopefully. A letter that probably some of us have never read before. But now we've heard it because Margaret read it to us a few minutes ago. But I wonder what our first impressions of this letter are, having heard it read to us. I think my first impression after I read it was that I needed to read it again because very little of it went in. I started preparing for this morning a few weeks ago, and when I read this letter, it was so short that it was over before I realised it, and I hadn't taken any of it in. So I read it again, and I tried to focus, I tried to concentrate and pay attention to what it says. But even then, having read it for a second time, it wasn't easy to hold on to the details. So I read it again, read it a couple more times. And because it's so short, it doesn't take long to do that. And by the time I'd read it 4 or 5 times, I think my conclusion was that this is not the kind of letter that I would write. It's a little bit strange. It's quite repetitive. When you get home, you might like to do that for yourself and read the letter a few times and see what impression you get from doing that, especially see what it is that stands out from the letter. What is this letter about? What stays with you once you finish reading it? And as the name suggests, 2 John is not the first letter that John wrote. In fact, we've got 3 of his letters in the Bible, and it's the first one that we tend to read more often. That has 5 chapters. There's more to get into. But another thing that's noticeable from reading the second letter is it contains some familiar words and phrases, things that we've heard before. In fact, things that are exactly the same as we find in John's first letter. And there are also things that we find in John's gospel. So when we read 2 John, it can feel a little bit familiar. We recognise some of it, and that's probably why we'd say that it is John who wrote this letter, even though at the start it just says the elder. So it's sort of anonymous, but then so is 1 John and 3 John. And he doesn't exactly say who he's writing to either. He says, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth. So that already suggests that there's a close relationship. But what is it all about? What is this letter all about? I'm going to suggest one way to try and discover that is to read it and then try and find a title that fits the book. So I said it's a book, it's also a letter. Letters don't normally have titles, but books do. And even though 2 John is a kind of a title, it's not exactly telling us what the letter's about. So let's try and come up with something that fits more with the content of this letter. So I'm going to read it again. I'm actually going to read it from not from the NIV translation, but from the NLT translation, New Living Translation, just so we get to hear a slightly different version of the letter. But as I read, I want you to think, what is a good title for this book? And I know that some people are very creative, some people are quite analytical, but we can all come up with a title, can't we? A book that takes just 2 minutes to read, surely we can come up with a title. So, here we go. I'm going to read it, and then I'd like you to tell me what you think would be a good title. Now, I've actually got four different versions of this letter, so I need to make sure I read out the right one. I think this is it. Someone who's got the NLT will tell me if this is wrong. This letter, I don't think it is actually, hold on a sec. This is the one. Better to get it right. This letter is from John the Elder. I'm writing to the chosen lady and her children whom I love in the truth, as does everyone else who knows the truth, because the truth lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. How happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living according to the truth, just as the Father commanded. I'm writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us. And he has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an anti-Christ. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God, but anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. Anyone who encourages such people becomes a partner in their evil work. I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to do it with paper and ink, for I hope to visit you soon and talk with you face to face. Then our joy will be complete. Greetings from the children of your sister, chosen by God. So we're trying to come up with a title for the letter. You can be as creative as you want. But we're trying to come up with something that captures what this letter is about so that later today or tomorrow or later this week, this letter won't be forgotten, but it will be a foundation for what we're doing. I gave a title for this talk a couple of weeks ago without having really prepared what I was going to say today. And the title that I gave for the talk, not for the book, but for the talk, was Short and Sweet. And you could say that this is a short and sweet letter, but it's not totally sweet, is it? It's more like, in places, like a short, sharp shock to wake us up, to make us realise that there are things that we need to do, things that we need to be careful about. So who's got a suggestion for a title for this book? Tom. The Joys of Living in the Truth. I love it. I love it. The Joys of Living in the Truth. That gets us to the heart of it, isn't it? Lindy. Encouragement and warning. So the balance, there's encouragement, there's comfort, but there's warning and there's challenge. Excellent. Anna. Live in truth and love. Live in truth and love. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the essence of it, isn't it? Truth and love together. Not just love, not just truth. Truth and love together. Any other suggestions, Alison? Continue, keep going in the way of love. I like that as well. Yeah, there is a way of love that we can continue in. Let's find out what this way of love is. Jesus is our Savior. Brilliant. Jesus only gets mentioned a couple of times in this letter, but Jesus is the heart of this letter. His salvation is the most important thing. And that's what John has experienced, and that's what he writes about, even though there are words that he uses more often than Jesus or salvation. That captures it as well. Jesus is our Savior. Any other thoughts? Walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. See, 1 John starts about talking about walking in the light and also talks about truth a lot. And the word truth, I think, is 5 times in 2 John. It's 57 times in John's Gospel. And it's 25 times in 1 John. So you get an idea of what's important to what's important to John as he's writing these things. But walking in the truth. Absolutely. A lot of prophecy. And that's what we were looking at in Isaiah. But you could read this letter and say, okay, what is prophetic from this letter? Any other suggestions for a title? Yeah. Truth and love intertwined. Yep. So, I'm going to stop in just a minute because I don't want to say everything about this letter. I could probably talk all day about, not only about the football, but about this letter as well. I have to admit, when I first read it, I wasn't that taken by it. For me, it was more forgettable than foundational. But when I read it a few more times, and where was I going? I was in the car the other day with a couple of hours to drive. I thought, I'm going to try and memorize this. I got about as far as verse 4. But as I was trying to memorize this letter, wow, did I discover some amazing things. As I just thought about it, as I took the time to think about what this letter is saying, there is so much more in it than I'd realized when I read it for the first or even the second time. So I'm not going to say everything about this letter because it would take all day, but I also want you to go away and read this letter and ask yourself, what is there here that I'm going to remember at least until next Sunday when we have Phil's talk on Psalm 110. Because it's important that we don't just come along on a Sunday morning and are encouraged and enthused when we're together. That's really important. That poem that you read, Hannah, what a brilliant insight into all the reasons why we come to church. But we don't just want to have a good, encouraging experience on a Sunday morning. We want to be taught things that will take us through the week. And some of us are new to this, and some of us have been here for a long time, but the idea is the same. How can we take things into our lives so that we are walking in the truth, so that we do keep truth and love together? Or, as I think is a kind of a fitting title for this. So that we experience lasting joy. So for me, this letter is about lasting joy. We often hear people say that, you know, nothing lasts forever. And we agree with that, don't we? Holidays don't last forever. Happiness doesn't last forever. Success in the World Cup doesn't last forever. The joy of seeing England play France and score 4 goals in the first half, that joy, real as it is, doesn't last forever. But this letter, if you were to ask John the question, or say to him, yeah, things don't last forever, he would say no. He would say that the truth which lives in us will be with us forever. That's verse 2. And that's the reason why he loves people. That's the reason why he lives a life of love, walking in the light, walking in the truth. That's why he tells people about Jesus, our Savior. Because there is greater joy. There is a joy that can last. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father will be with us in truth and love. Who doesn't want that? How many of our friends and family would love to have grace, mercy, and peace, and truth and love? We live in a world where truth is hard to pin down. Fake news, falsehood, all that is swirling around us. But we know that the truth is a person. When John writes about living in the truth, he's talking about living in Jesus, who said he was the way and the truth and the life. And that's what we want, isn't it? That's what we want for ourselves. That's what we want for our friends, our colleagues, our families, our neighbours, people that we bump into. If this is a possibility, if this is an option for people, think about the world we live in. Who wouldn't want what John is writing about? And it's interesting that John, he doesn't write a long letter here. And he gives the reason for that in verse 12. It's not that he's run out of things to say. I have much more, much to write to you, but I don't want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. Let's just take a moment to think, okay, who am I going to meet face to face and talk to this week? Who do I want to? You can think about who we might write a letter to this week, but writing letters has become quite a rare thing. Tony Lewis, who was part of our church and passed away just a couple of months ago, at his Thanksgiving service, one of the things that was shared was his amazing letter writing kind of life. And lots of people stood up and spoke about letters that Tony had written to him. So writing letters is really good, and I'd encourage you to do that too. But also, as John says here, I hope to visit you. Who are we going to visit this week and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete? So that's what I want to leave with you. To John, complete joy, greater joy, lasting joy. However excited we get about other things, and it is good to get excited about the football, but it doesn't last. It was great to have James's friends over last night, and it was tiring, but it was fun, but it doesn't last. But there is a joy that lasts. Complete joy, lasting joy, forever joy. And that's what this book's about. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you encourage us to walk with you, walk in your light, walk in your truth. Lord, thank you that we have experienced your love in many, many ways. And thank you that you continue to pour out love and truth and grace and mercy and peace and all those things that we need. Lord, we're grateful to you for what you have done for us, Lord, what you continue to do for us, the change that you've brought about in our lives, Lord, the things that you still want to change so that we become more like you. And Father God, we thank you for the joy that's ours because of Jesus. Lord, help us to celebrate you. Help us to be thankful to you every day, Lord, for all that you are doing, for all that you have done, for all that you will do. Lord, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know who we will see or meet this week, but you do, because you know everything, Lord. And we thank you because you are the sovereign God, the Holy One, and you have welcomed us into your family. Lord, we're so grateful for what you have done for us. Lord, help us to celebrate you. Help us to praise you, Lord, and in doing that, encourage others to see who you are and to praise you for who you are, so that you will receive glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.